Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26, we want to continue looking at the instructions given to Moses by the Lord for the construction of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 26. In chapter 26, it's speaking of what it's referred to as the curtains. And it's really the main covering of the tabernacle, and then the veils, which would basically be the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And this evening, as we look at that, may the Lord give us wisdom in understanding why he constructed this the way he did, and that he give us insight into how this impacts even our lives today, as we are considered to be the Lord is tabernacling in our hearts, and that he resides in our lives with his Spirit. Let's begin by looking at verse 26, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. Now he says that there's three colors that are going to be incorporated into the tabernacle. And these will be, this particular curtains are going to be the first layer that would go down. This is what would be seen from the inside. And that's important to look at, because the beauty and the intricacy of the work will be greatly seen from the inside, where you come to meet the Lord. And there's three colors that are incorporated here, and we see that they are blue, purple, and scarlet. Blue is a color that's often associated with the law, and that the people were coming, and as they come to meet there, they're coming to meet the Lord of truth, the Lord of justice, the Lord that establishes how we are to live, how his kingdom is to be ordered. And so the color blue is often signified with the law. The color purple is a combination of blue and red. If you combine blue and red, you get purple. Purple is also a royal color. It's a color that would signify the fact that he is the king. He is the one who is not only that establishes the law, that brings to us the truth of his word, but he is the one who is over all. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And a third color, red, is a color which signifies sacrifice. It signifies laying down of one's life to pay a price, and often is associated with the sacrifice that would be coming of the coming Messiah. And so we see here within these colors that which is not only signifying who God is, but also his relationship to us, in that he has established his law that we may know who he is and how we are to live. Our relationship to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and him coming to be the one who would pay the sacrifice that we can have for this fellowship with him. These colors are entwined in this, and the blue and the purple and the scarlet. Now there's also placed upon these cords or threads, and woven into them, it says cunningly. The word cunning here is really skillfully. It's with great skill. And these men who would be, and women who would be working on this, would be great at their ability to do great crafting and handwork and stitch work. And they would do the cherubims. Now, cherubim, or if you would pronounce it with a hard CH, would be cherubs. They are the angels, and remember there are two cherubs, or cherubs, that were placed on the top of the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And they were there pointing and protecting the holiness of God and pointing to the worship of the Lord. Their job is to protect God's holiness. Their job is to draw people to worship the Lord. They are angels that are there to do the bidding of God and to do his will. And so these would be incorporated throughout all of the threads. You would see these angelic beings there. This is to remind us that God is there to be our, that His angels are there to do His bidding, to oversee us, and as well as to accomplish His purposes. Many of you, if you look at your life, can see times in your life where there's nothing other than perhaps a guardian angel or an angel that the Lord sent to protect you or guard you, where you should have had something happen where it's almost miraculous that it didn't. I can think of a number of times in my own life where that happened, where I should have died, where something should have happened to me, and it didn't. And the only thing I can say is that the Lord was there. And I've had people talk to me and share with me incidents where they had felt a need to pray. And they prayed, and later on they found the person that they had felt the need to pray for right at the time they were praying. Something was happening, and all of a sudden there was protection that was there in an answer to the person's prayer. God is there. He works through His angels. The Scriptures tell us that that sometimes we may entertain angels unaware that they are around us, that they sometimes the Lord allows them to appear in the form of men to minister to us. And we don't even know that they're angels. But these angels, or cherubs, were put into the thread and into the inner part as symbols of the angels that are there doing God's willing, protecting His holiness. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits. This would be about 42 feet. A cubit is typically considered to be 18 inches. And so if you do the math, it's about 42 feet. And the breadth of one cubit, the breadth of one curtain is 4 cubits. So you see that the length of one curtain would be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth would be 4 cubits. 4 cubits would be about 6 feet. And every one of the curtains shall have one measure. Now, if you look at these curtains, the 42 feet, they are going to be about 6 feet wide, 42 feet long. And now these curtains are going to be sewn together, or not sewn together, but they're going to be assembled together to be a covering for the whole tabernacle or tent. It says, the 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. So you're going to have 5 curtains coupled to 5 curtains, and that is, they'll be put in pairs. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of one curtain from the selvage in the curtain cup, in the coupling. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge another curtain in the coupling of the second. In other words, they're to be placed together, and they're to be coupled together, and it's going to tell us how that they're going to be coupled. It says, 50 loops shalt thou make in one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to literally be intertwined like this as loops, but they're going to be put next to one another, and then they're going to be held by what is referred to as tatches, which are really clasps. And so these clasps are going to be going through the loops, holding the curtains together, and so they'll be coupled, that is, married, if you would, placed together with the loops next to one another, and then these clasps holding the loops. And thou shalt make 50 tatches, that is, clasps, of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches or clasps, and it shall be one tabernacle. So you have these 10 curtains, put in pairs of 5, coupled together as 5. They're 42 feet long, 6 feet wide. So if you have, that gives you, and then they're put together into pairs. And then it goes on and it tells us what's going to be done next. The length of one curtain shall be 30, I'm sorry, and thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. So they have the 10 curtains, and these are the inner curtains. These are the curtains that first go down. And then over the top of those, this would be what's seen on the outside. So we have this beautiful blue and red, or scarlet and purple, with cherubs put all over the linen cords on the inside, coupled together, placed over the structure. Well, later on we're going to see that that's shittim wood that they're making the structure out of, and that's placed over it. And then over the top of those goes this other covering. And this isn't as beautiful, but it says that it's going to be 50, it says, and thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. And the length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits. So 30 cubits would be, let's see if I can do my math correct. You'd have 18 inches times 30, and I had this written out earlier, and I forgot my sheet at home. So now I'm going to have to try and do my math in my head. So that would be 30 feet, plus if you take half of that, that would be 15, so it would be 45 feet approximately. So these are going to be a little bit longer than the other ones. And they're going to go over the top of them, but they're going to be the same width. They're 4 cubits wide, so they'd be approximately 6 feet wide, the same as the inner ones. And it says here, and thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the storefront and the forefront of the tabernacle. So they're going to be placed over the same as the inside ones on the structure, and then in the front is going to be the additional curtain that's made for the exterior. There won't be an interior one there. And that'll be on the forefront, it says. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 latches of brass. Now, the term brass here, they didn't have brass. It probably would have been copper or bronze, actually, instead of brass. But it would have been a metal that wouldn't have been as precious as the gold on the inside, but yet it would be a metal that would withstand the elements. Both copper and brass, or bronze, they all withstand the elements, where if you had made it out of iron, that would rust and decay. All of these couplings withstand the elements. They do not decay. And we see that that is the way that God made this structure. It is to be a structure that is permanent. Now, one of the things to look at this tabernacle, it's an image of the tabernacle in heaven. It's giving us the components and the image of where the Lord resides in heaven, as we see that the Lord Jesus goes to be with the Father in heaven, and he sits upon his throne. And we see that this is these are pictures given to the nation of Israel as well as to us of what God is doing in heaven. And it says here, and thou shalt make 50 latches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And so now we have the exterior shell made that's placed over, but we're not done yet. It says here, and the remnant of the remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. And one cubit on one side and one cubit on the other side, that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. In other words, the extra length is going to be placed over each side of the tent, because the other ones will be off the ground like this, and then this outer covering will go down and cover that space that is left, because remember, these are a little bit longer than the other ones were. so that the outside you cannot see in, but the inside you could have seen out. And it says here, and thou shalt make a covering of the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skins. Now, the badger skins, a lot of this term badgers here, probably they didn't have badgers as we think of badgers. And actually, the Hebrew term there is often associated with porpoises or another type of fish, but it would be type of a skin that would be a light gray skin or a bluish skin. And it says that the ram skin is to be dyed red, and then you'd have these badger skins or porpoise skins that would be probably a grayish blue. And so these are to be an additional covering that goes, the final covering over the outside. And thou shalt make, then it talks about, that's the picture that we have. And it's interesting that they have the ram skins dyed red. Why do they do that? And if you look at the rams were a symbol of power, but then they're dyed red, which is a symbol of sacrifice. And oftentimes rams were sacrificed, sheep were sacrificed, and so the color red again of scarlet there. Now, it tells us of the inner structure that holds all of these skins up. It says, and thou shalt make boards of the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of the board, and a cubit and a half should be the breadth of the boards. These are not small boards. If you look at 10 cubits long, that is going to be, it would be basically about 18 feet long. And if you had a cubit and a half, you're going to be 18 inches plus 9 inches, 27 inches. So it's going to be a little bit over 2 feet wide by 18 feet long. They are large, huge boards. And they're going to be placed there. And it says that these two tenons shall there be in one board, set in order, one against the other. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And the tenons would hold the boards together, and they could be set against each other. And so you have the boards placed within the tabernacle, and these would be used to make the structure of the tent. And also make the boards of the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side, southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under the other board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north, there shall be 20 boards. And there shall be 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, shalt thou make 6 boards. And then it says, it goes on, and the 2 boards shalt thou make for the corner of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the corners. So we have the corners, we have the main structure of the tabernacle, and then we have all of the curtains placed over the top of the boards, creating this tent. And they shall be 8 boards in their sockets of silver, and 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, and 2 for the sides westward. And then it says, in the middle bar, in the midst of the boards, shall reach from end to end. So in other words, you have the one board going like this, and so it's kind of the structure of a roof. You have the big board going through here. You have little boards going up on each side like this. And you have small end boards. And then you have the side boards going all around, and then you have all of the curtains placed over the top of these. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make the rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee on the mount. Now, I wish I had this picture on the overlay, but it's showing here that the outer wall is made of all the boards that he's talking about, and then the inner tent is made of this last structure, and then the curtains placed over it. I'll just bring down and show you a picture in my Bible where it kind of shows the little outlay of the tabernacle here, showing how the boards and the curtains are all put together. And that would be the final kind of structure as to how it would be. Now there's remembering that within the tabernacle itself, there's going to be two sections to the tabernacle, or two sections to the tent. There's going to be the most holy place, and then the holy of holies, and there would have to be something separating those two. This is called the veils. And we're going to quickly look at those, because this is the last few verses of chapter 26. He talks about the veils. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, the same three colors again, of fine twined linen and cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And so it's going to be made the same as the inner layer, so it's going to look the same, but this is going to be something that will be separating the two portions of the temple, of the tabernacle. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold, and their hooks shall be gold upon the four sockets of silver. Now remember, if you look at this, everything that we're seeing here, as I mentioned earlier, is all things that will not decay. Silver, gold, brass, or bronze. It will not decay, or copper. And everything is overlaid with either gold or silver or brass or bronze. And so it's designed to last. And God is making this so that the nation of Israel shall have it, and is going to have it for quite a period of time. And thou shalt hang it up, the veil, under the latches, and thou shalt... Thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And so we see that this veil divides it, this separates it, so it enables separation to occur. And this will also be involved later on as Moses is given the instructions for worship and who has the right to go into the Holy of Holies, what is within the Holy of Holies, and why everybody just can't go in there. Later on, it's interesting, when Jesus is dying on the cross, when Solomon built his temple, and when they rebuilt the temple, when they came back out of the Babylonian captivity under Ezra and Nehemiah, and the temple was rebuilt, the second temple, and then as Herod had remodeled that temple and made it much grander, all of those temples had, between the holy and holies and the holy place, a veil, just as a tabernacle had. This veil was made of the same type of material, but it was even much thicker than this veil within the tabernacle. And we know that something interesting happened when Jesus died on the cross. The scriptures tell us that when Jesus died and said, "It is finished," at that moment, the veil was rended or ripped in two, and it was ripped from the top down. Now, this veil could not be tore by just going up and tearing it like you would a piece of cloth. If I was strong enough, I could tear my sweater. But that veil, men could not tear. It was constructed in such a way that you could not destroy it. But that veil, when Jesus died, was torn in two. And it was torn from the top down. What was the purpose of this veil? The purpose of this veil was to prevent access from everyone to the Holy of Holies. Only certain people could go beyond this veil. Let's just look at the rest of this veil, and then I'll come back and give you the reason why that was and why it was torn from the top down. And thou shalt hang up a veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, that is the ark of the covenant. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And so the Ark of the Covenant, along with the mercy seat, the lid, is to be placed there. That is where God is going to come to meet the people of Israel, but not everybody can go in to meet God. God will be there. The people will be able to see the Shekinah glory coming from the temple, tabernacle, but they can't go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest can go in there. And he's going to be instructed he can only go in there once a year to offer sacrifice. And thou shalt set the table without the veil and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. And then we studied last week the table of showbread and the menorah or the candlestick. So the candlestick was put on the south side, and the showbread table was put on the north side, and then the Ark of the Covenant, the elements that we've seen and Moses has been given so far, that was placed within the Holy of Holies. And thou shalt make a hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet, and a fine twined linen wrought with needlework, and thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be made of gold, and thou shalt cast five sockets of brass with them. This is the entering to enter into the holy place. There will be these five pillars overlaid with gold and having silver components and artwork on them, and then they shall you enter into there to go into the holy place. Showbread on the north, the menorah or candlestick on the south, and later on there'll be an altar that will be placed in there as well. And then beyond that you have the Ark of the Covenant. Now I said this Ark was separated from the rest of the holy place by this veil. When Jesus died, the veil was rendered in two from the top down. It wasn't from the bottom up. What is the significance of that? When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin. He was the Messiah, the one who had been promised. Everything about the tabernacle has things that can be related to Christ, pointing to why Christ would come. Part of it being, you could not approach God. You could not go beyond the veil. If anyone went into the Holy of Holies and didn't have the right to go in there, they would be struck dead. Even it's recorded that the high priest, when he would go in to offer the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, they would place a rope around his leg. They'd place bells around his robe so that as he moved around within the Holy of Holies, they would hear the bells ringing. If the bells stopped ringing and he wasn't moving, no one could go in to get him out. And it meant that his sacrifice had been a sacrifice that was an abomination to the Lord. It wasn't offered properly, and he had been smitten dead by God. And so consequently, what they would do with the rope that had been tied around his foot, they would drag him out of the Holy of Holies. That is what it was to go into the presence of God as sinful men. Even if you went in to offer the sacrifice, you had to make sure you were offering it for your sins as well. Not everybody had that right. When Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, and the curtain was torn, or the veil was torn from the top down, it was showing that God himself was ripping that veil apart. The Bible tells us that you and I have the right to go into the presence of the Most High God. It says that we have the right to go into the Holy of Holies and to offer our prayers to Him, to come and commune with Him within this Holy of Holy places. Do you understand the great privilege that we have been given through Jesus, in that that veil was ripped apart by God so that fellowship could be restored and we no longer have this division separating us from Him? That was what was seen by the nation of Israel. They never saw that curtain torn until Jesus came. And may we understand the significance of the layout of the temple, the significance of the elements of the temple. And we're going to be looking at some more yet. There'll be some of the altars that are going to be described here and their purposes, and then the outer court and its purpose as well. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to understand, and Lord, as we look at it's difficult because we're trying to conceptualize in our minds a structure that we have never really seen except as it's been described in Your Word. And it's in terms that we're not familiar with. And Lord, help us to be able to study and to learn and to really see the significance of all that You laid out. Nothing of it was done by chance, but rather You did it with purpose. And Lord, may we see the purpose in the colors, the purpose in the design, the purpose in the layout, and that it was all pointing to the fact that You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the One who came to redeem the earth, and the One who gave us the law, but gave us a means by which we could be forgiven for not keeping it. Lord, now I pray that You would just help us to go and to share with others this hope that we have in Christ. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.